Okay, this morning, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to take a break from Mark. For those of you who read the e-blast, you knew this was coming. For those of you who didn't, you're like, what's he doing? I recently said here that it occurred to Rebecca and I that we just completed our third year at St. Giles in September. 3 years, holy moogly. The first, I served alongside Keith, and we co-pastored, and that was an amazing process. It was right in the middle of a global pandemic. When you can say something was an amazing process in the midst of that time, it must have been pretty good. And in the last 2 years, Rebecca and I have been here, and we've been watching, listening, discerning, trying to understand what is the Lord doing at St. Giles, because he's definitely doing a lot. And it came to my attention that we're entering as Rebecca said, into our stewardship campaign season next week. And hopefully you've all got one of these little cards. If you don't, Patience Flynn is the lady you need to talk to. I love shamelessly promoting Patience Flynn because she's really good at what she does. And so just ask her, she will help you. But I want to take an opportunity on the front end of that to give you what just a pastoral vision for where we see St. Giles going. I did not clear this with the session. And so you're going to, at the end, probably say, Josh, you should have talked to the session about that. But the truth is what I really want this to be is it's something from Rebecca and I's heart. We took some time to just pray and listen and discern what we think the Lord's doing. And we just want to give it to you from our hearts. The practical outpourings of this will vary, but we want to give you maybe the spiritual map of what we're working off of this morning. And so the phrase that we felt like the Lord was giving us for this season of St. Giles is going deeper. It's going deeper. The Lord is calling us to go deeper. And oddly, as I was thinking, what do I want to use as the passage for this? Paul uniquely in Ephesians 3 hits the three main points that we were discussing. We're like, wow, don't feel as original as we thought we were at one point. But nevertheless, and part of me, I'm going to be unabashedly about St. Giles this morning. I typically like to try to do the history and things like that and give you like the fuller, broader picture. I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm really talking about St. Giles. But Paul gives us a wonderful biblical map to understand that. And so that's what I want to do this morning. So are you up for this? Okay, here we go. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19. This is like Ephesians is an amazing letter. Amazing. Some people call it Romans in miniature, which is pretty high praise, right? But this is a climax moment. This is Paul's prayer over the Ephesians. And I'm going to major on verses 16 and 17. So make sure you pay attention to those as we go over them. But I want you to get the full breadth here of what he's praying. And so he begins like this, Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that, according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through the Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you're being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is beneath and length, what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let me pray for us. All we want is you, Jesus. Just more of you continuously. Lord, as I invoke those words, going deeper, Lord, we set our gaze upon you. You're the only one worthy of going deeper with. And so that's what we ask. Whatever the words I've prepared here, Lord, more than anything, we want them to ring true with what you want for St. Giles. And so we ask that that would be communicated now. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. The end of Paul's prayer says this, and I'm just putting this up here because it's really a wonderful summary. He says, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. And get this, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Who here wants to be filled with all the fullness of God? That's it. That's the best thing I've got to say all morning long, is if nothing else, we long for this for every single person who ever walks through a door of St. Giles, that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. It pretty much summarizes everything I have to say. So if you do nothing else, write that down. Write it. Stick it in your Bible. Stick it on your mirror. Write it on your heart. I've been invited by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to be filled with all the fullness of God. That's who you are. And that's his invitation to you. Now that said, Paul gives us a little bit of what that looks like. And he prays three things for the Ephesians right before this. And I want to walk through them, what each one of them means. Basically, I wrote it out like this. This is just the verse with some extra numbers stuck in. But he prays for this. He says, I pray that according to the riches of his glory, one, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his spirit. Two, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And three, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I'm going to take each of these one at a time. Once again, unabashedly about St. Giles this morning. So bear that in mind. But the first thing he says is that he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his spirit. Let's break this down a little bit, because there's rich language in this verse. It's worth really understanding what he's saying, and I identify with it. What is your inner being? Well, the Greek word for this is very familiar to our ears. It's ego. What's the ego? The self. Self, right? The preacher's joke I used in the first service. It's not ego. That's a waffle. It's your ego, right? It's yourself. It's the core of who you're being. That Paul is essentially saying and praying that the literal presence of God would dwell within you in power, in such a way, that power, a dunamis word, in power that it strengthens the very core of your person. Well, what kind of strength is this? Probably a little obvious, but it's the kind of strength we don't naturally have. Therefore, Paul has to pray for it for the Ephesians, right? It's the kind of strength to do the kind of things that only you can do if God dwells within you. It's Zechariah 4:6, right? Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Friends, don't you want to be the kind of Christian and the kind of church that does the kind of things that only you can do if God dwells within you? I want that. I want that. We want that. We want that for you. We want that for us. We want to be the kind of church that does the kind of things that only you can do if the Spirit of God dwells within you. That sounds really wonderful and exciting. Everything else is a marvelous social club that you don't need this body for, right? But with the Spirit, well, now we become the church. And that excites me to no end. So this is the first piece of our vision that Rebecca and I have for St. Giles, and that is we want to be a church that goes deeper in being stewards of the presence of God. That's your point number one, if you're keeping score. We want to go deeper in being stewards of the presence of God. The first Sunday I was here, I just knew this church had an anointing for this. Let me tell you why, because the very first Sunday, back in the sanctuary. We've all been in the sanctuary, right? We've seen this thing. It's modestly intimidating, especially if it's your first Sunday and your first sermon as the brand new co-pastor. And so I was sitting on the right side, and I was nervous. I'm like, you guys are an intimidating lot. You don't know it. But I was nervous, and I was trying to think, how do I keep it together? And it made it much more complicated because this crazy thing started happening. And that is, every time we'd sing a song, I'd get this wave of emotion, and I'd start tearing up with tears of joy. And I'd be like, Josh, you gotta hold it together, man. Act like you've been here before, right?
And so, but then it would happen again, and I'd get another one, and then it happened again. And I was like, "Golly, I've got to stay together with this man." But I'm just wanting to go in the corner and have just the me and Jesus time. It wasn't the right morning for it. I made it to the pulpit. Praise be to God. Got through the sermon. Went home, and afterwards, I talked to Rebecca, and I said, "I'm just curious. Did you feel like the Spirit of God was moving in that service?" And you know what she said to me? She said, "I kept having these waves of tears coming over me over and over." Friends, I think we get used to it, but there's something special about stepping into this body during worship. The Spirit moves. I think there has been a historical anointing on this church to be stewards of the presence of God for a very long time. And you feel it. You feel it. Our hope is that that's not only the past of this church, it's the present, and it keeps growing into the future, that we are a church who stewards the presence of God well. What does that mean? Well, it essentially means that we're the kind of church that once again understands that the best of who we are the things that only God can do within us, right? So going deeper in the presence of God means we are strengthened, we are empowered in our egos, the center of who we are, to be those kind of people and to be that kind of church. That we take serious the working of the Spirit in our midst, and that we emphasize that the Christian walk is both a submissive and a cooperative act with what God is doing in our presence. And that we're being strengthened and empowered to do infinitely more through him than we can in ourselves. Y'all on board with being a church that stewards the presence of God? Is that okay with you? Can we do that? Maybe. We'll see. We're holding out on you, Josh. We'll see what it looks like. All right, second part. Paul prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We want to go deeper in faith-building discipleship. This year, Rebecca and I have really emphasized in our own growth as pastors, and therefore in the way we've led, the importance of discipleship. And perhaps more so, the importance of discipleship with one another. That being transformed with one another is just important. Because essentially it's the biblical view of discipleship, right? The Bible does not call us to go off on a mountain and do it all on our own, amen? He calls us to be in community. He says, iron sharpens iron, not iron and air, right? When iron doesn't have something to sharpen it, what does air do to iron? Causes it to rust. You need iron to sharpen iron. You probably have seen this a lot in some of the decisions we've made this year. Alpha, if you've been coming to Alpha, it's a product of wanting to be transformed with one another. Our first community, VBS, this summer, it was really a product of a conversation Heather and I had about how do we create a special environment for our kids, not the ones we don't know, the ones we do know, where they can be transformed, where they can go deeper in their discipleship, where they can have, you know, those poignant moments through, you know, we have these rhythms of faith all year long in the church, but you got to have those special moments, what we call, you know, last 2 weeks, talking about those mountaintop moments where you can really put something down and wrap all the rhythm around it, right? And say, in that moment, God did something. Well, we thought, well, could we create a VBS for our kids where they have those Ebenezer moments, those stake in the ground moments where they can reference those throughout their days and say, God did something there. I remember when I was this old and God did this. And praise be to God, Heather and her crew and the leaders of our sister churches, they nailed it. They nailed it. It was a blast. It was so much fun. And we just saw God working in the lives of these kids. Our youth right now, they've hit a new level of growth as well. I wish Taylor were here to tell you, but he's got a group of them on retreat. Going deeper, in theory. And so, actually, I think they're going higher, as I've been told. There's a ropes course. And apparently some really high parts of this ropes course, I've been told. It's for some, not for others, right? But listening to them, there's just a new beautiful season of wrestling deeper and deeper questions, questions that we need safe space to wrestle with and ask questions of ourselves. And the Lord is working and doing a beautiful thing there. And so we say, praise be to God. Let that discipleship go deeper. This year, we really made a push to see life groups become a central source of spiritual formation for our church. I've said it multiple times, but I'll keep saying it. If you do nothing else, try to find a group of people to do faith with. Once again, iron sharpens iron. Air does not sharpen iron well. You need people to walk this out with. To further that point, I recently came across a quote from Greg Ogden, great author, a book called Transforming Discipleship. Listen to this. He says it like this. He says, the extent to which we are willing to reveal to others those areas of our lives that need God's transforming touch is the extent to which we invite the Holy Spirit to make us new. Let me read it one more time. The extent to which we are willing to reveal to others those areas of our lives that need God's transforming touch is the extent to which we invite the Holy Spirit to make us new. In other words, the extent to which you are willing to enter into community with your discipleship determines how far you'll go in it. And where you stop is where the Spirit stops with you. We're made for community. We're made to become disciples with others. I think we learned this in the pandemic, didn't we? I know it feels like it was like 20 years ago now. And it can stay back there. But do you know this. We praise be to God for the internet, right? There's so many resources, so much information. But I think we learned in the pandemic, you can have all the discipleship talks, lessons, things you can read, all of it. It's all great, and you can do all of it. But if you don't have community, it loses its significance, right? It loses its power. It becomes a small thing, where with community, it becomes a beautiful thing that then begins to sink into our very being, and we hold each other accountable to it, and we wrestle together with it. Friends, Rebecca and I want us to keep going deeper in being a disciple-making church. We want to grow more and more in our faith, and we want to be the kind of church that reaches others through making disciples, not by being attractive, not by having the best show in town. We want to make disciples. That's what we've been called to do. That's been the spiritual mandate for 2,000 years. Make disciples. We're passionate about that, and we want to see St. Giles be that kind of church that is just deeply rich in discipleship. I got one more point. You know, I feel very justified this morning, by the way. I always have 3 points, but you know what? So did Paul. So I feel good about this. We want to go deeper in love that transforms the lives of those within our reach. We want to go deeper in love with those and transform the lives of those within our reach. Let me tell you one more story. I've been feeling a little bit reminiscent this past week or two. For those of you who knew the story of our, I'll call it a harrowing journey from Asheville, North Carolina to Richmond, Virginia, we had quite the moving process. Part of that process was my car. Does anybody have a gas tank that they put gas into their lawnmower with? Well, I left mine outside. And I thought, well, I got to get rid of this before we move. So what did I do? I put it in my car, of course. Bad idea. Because it rained, and it was filled with water. And my engine immediately, poof, the day before I'm supposed to drive said car to Virginia. Done. Through a lot of prayer, a really wonderful friend, and a pretty nice shimmy that was still left in the engine when I hit the interstate. I said, I'm going for it, because it had been enough at that point. And I thought, what could be worse? I break down on the side of the road. The story's only getting better from this point forward. And so we took off, and I headed down the interstate. I'd sent Rebecca and the kids and the dog beforehand. They all went, and they're going to this beautiful house that Paige let us rent. And so I'm on the way there. I get there in the evening, And I'm almost like weeping because the car made it. And by the way, it's the same little junky green car I still drive. I just can't let go of it. I love it. It's been through so much. But nevertheless, so we pull in. I walk into the house, and there's the family. They're excited. The kids are screaming. The dog's barking. He's a big fella. He barks loud. Keith and Sarah are there to greet us. It was a wonderful, wonderful moment. I had all the stuff I needed to set down, so I just walked all the way back to the kitchen. And that was the moment that actually got me. As I stepped into the kitchen, and the whole kitchen was stocked with food. You all had stocked it with food. And it was the most, you could say, oh, it's just food. And yet to me, it was like the words being shouted to me, you're home, you're home. It was incredible. Friends, who here has ever had a moment where you were just loved and it felt transformative for you? Like somebody just did something kind to you and you just felt deeply loved. Those acts of love do transform people. They really transform people. And so Rebecca and I feel like we're just feeding off of your strengths, but we want to be a church that continues to overwhelm people by love. We want to love them. We want to love them in ways that transform them. This is Paul's final prayer to the Ephesians, that you would be rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love, the kind of love that only comes from Christ, and the kind of love that when it comes from Christ, it goes through you, it goes into the world, and it keeps transforming others. It keeps transforming others. Who was here when we did Zoo on the Lawn this year? Anybody did Zoo on the Lawn? I do have to give credit where credit's due. James Anderson, George Green, Taylor's not here to receive it. These guys grilled more burgers and dogs than is probably humanly safe. Yeah, they deserve a round of applause. There came a point where I was checking on George, and I don't think he could see a thing because there's so much grease caked on his glasses. And it was like, at this point, I was surprised he still had hands. He hadn't melted them off yet. But we just gave away burgers and dogs. We had a bunch of animals, ice cream truck. We had over 200 people show up at that. And all we wanted to do was bless the neighborhood. That was the goal, just bless the neighborhood. And it worked. You guys have been doing this with food trucks and various means, but we're trying to figure out ways to keep doing it. The session just approved a team that's headed up by Jacques and Don von Beckman. They're first service folks, if you haven't got to meet them. And the whole goal of this team is to simply come up with creative ways to do outreach in our area. That's all we're doing. We're just trying to be creative and blessing people and getting to know people in our area. You'll hear more about that. The concert series that we're doing. Anybody gone to one of our concerts, the concert series? Oh, guys, this is not enough. These are great. Next Sunday, Classical Revolutions RVA is going to be here. It's going to be wonderful. Next month, we're doing Ben and the choir. They're bringing a whole bunch of symphony musicians. They're going to do, the Messiah Sing-Along. Who here's done a Messiah sing-along? Yeah, it's a thing. I didn't know it was a thing, but apparently it's a really big thing. And then after that, we're going to have the Richmond Brass Consort come in. If you don't know who those guys are, they did a wonderful Christmas concert last year, and it's the opportunity to hear that entire sanctuary rumble with brass. It's phenomenal. And all of it's free. And the reason we do it is we're trying to figure out ways to bless our community, love on our community, and lean into our strengths, which we feel like arts are one of our strengths. You're going to hear more about Mission RVA soon, and then Global Missions is ever present. We have a wonderful, rich history and presence in Global Missions. But friends, I say all this to say, we want to go deeper in love that transforms the lives of those within our reach. We want to overwhelm people with love. Why? Because we've been overwhelmed by love, haven't we? Every time we look at the cross, we are overwhelmed by love. I say this, I keep saying Rebecca and I told her she should preach half this message, and then she said, no, you're good. And but we long to have this season of going deeper, just going deeper. And I began this by saying that we're entering into our season of stewardship. Hopefully you all got a card. And hopefully you'll fill it out because it really helps us. But I want to draw your attention to this. Keith, I gave you credit for this in the first service. Did you write this section here? I mean, it's been here longer than I. Okay, yes. And we keep it on because it's so good. And this is kind of, I mean, in a strange way, it's kind of like New Year's for the church calendar, is stewardship season, because it's more than just filling out the card. It's looking at this, and it says, remember that stewardship is a lifestyle that is developed as you worship regularly, study God's word, serve others, continue in daily prayer, share the gospel with unbelievers, and give. It's all of that. It's all of that. And so I hope you'll take this and read this section. Read it multiple times over the next week. Let God just stir it in you. Ask him where he's calling you to go deeper. Where is he calling you to go deeper right now? One final thing. And this is just to be said. Rebecca and I, we love you guys. We really love you. I mean that. We love you. We feel perpetually loved, for that matter. And we consider it a blessing and a privilege to be the pastors of St. Giles. I mean, we wake up most mornings pinching ourselves. And I hope you know that. I hope you feel that through us. And Rebecca really challenged me this week to not get too excited when I preached, but to kind of be serious and honest. And I feel like I've done a great job. However, if I'm being honest, I am over the moon about what I think the Lord is doing in this church. You just see it. It's beautiful. It's been on a trajectory for years, and it's like a crescendo in music. It just keeps getting louder and louder and louder. And the word that I keep seeing coming to me from others and bubbling up even in myself is from Isaiah 43:19. And it feels like an appropriate verse to be praying in this season, so I'll invite you to pray it with me. And that is, see, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? May the Lord grant us eyes to see and ears to hear all that he's doing in our midst. Amen. Let me pray that for us. Jesus, we submit ourselves to you. We confess that apart from you, everything we have to offer is infinitely less, but with you is infinitely more. And so, Lord, we ask that you'd grow us in being a church that stewards your presence well. Lord, would you grow us to be a disciple-making church where we sharpen each other and we sharpen others? Lord, would you help us to be a church that overwhelmingly loves others in a way that transforms lives? And Father, I pray for each one of us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear how you're calling us as individuals to go deeper this season. We just want you. It's our declaration, more of you. More of you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.